So I'll be honest, I don't remember much about my first Sunday at Advent. I could not tell you what Pastor Michael preached on. I don't know any of the hymns we sang or songs we sang or even who I met on that first Sunday. But what I do remember is giving a lot of thought in advance to what I was going to wear to make the right first impression. Now, in case you were wondering, I ended up choosing a black and white floral print dress with pockets, but my second choice dress was a blue sleeveless dress that had white stripes around the bottom. And on my first Sunday, I walked into the sanctuary for the 8:30 service, and I was excited and nervous and green and no idea what all was going to happen. And I scanned the room ready to meet people, and a woman who appeared to be similar in age to my grandmother was wearing my second choice dress. This is true. Now, my second Sunday here, I preached for the first time, and if you have gotten to know me over the years and you know how much I love the Old Testament, it's probably not a surprise to you that my first sermon was from the Old Testament, and I preached from the book of 2 Kings. And so today, it seemed only fitting to preach that same text. So this morning, we're turning to 2 Kings chapter 5, and I'm reading from the Message translation. Naaman was general of the army under the king of Aram. He was important to his master, who held him in the highest esteem because it was by him that God had given victory to Aram, a truly great man, but afflicted with a grievous skin disease. It so happened that Aram, on one of its raiding expeditions against Israel, captured a young girl who became a maid to Naaman's wife. One day, she said to her mistress, "Oh, if only my master could meet the prophet of Samaria, he would be healed of his skin disease." Naaman went straight to his master and reported what the girl from Israel had said. "Well, then go," said the king of Aram, "and I'll send a letter of introduction to the king of Israel." So he went off, taking with him about 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. Naaman delivered the letter to the king of Israel. The letter read, "When you get this letter, you'll know that I've personally sent my servant Naaman to you. Heal him of his skin disease." When the king of Israel read the letter, he was terribly upset, ripping his robe to pieces. He said, "Am I a God with the power to bring death or life that I get orders to heal this man from his disease? What's going on here? That king's trying to pick a fight. That's what." Elisha, the man of God, heard what had happened, that the king of Israel was so distressed that he'd ripped up his robe to shreds. He sent word to the king, "Why are you so upset, ripping your robe like this? Send him to me so that he'll learn there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman, with his horses and chariots, arrived in style and stopped at Elisha's door. Elisha sent out a servant to meet him with this message: "Go to the River Jordan and immerse yourself 7 times. Your skin will be healed and you'll be as good as new." Naaman lost his temper. He spun around saying, "I thought he'd personally come out and meet me and call on the name of God and wave his hand over this disease spot and get rid of the disease. The Damascus rivers, Abana and Parfar, are cleaner by far than any of the rivers in Israel. Why not bathe in them? I'd at least get clean." He stomped off, mad as a hornet. But his servants caught up with him and said, "Father, if the prophet had asked you to do something hard and heroic, wouldn't you have done it? So why not this simple wash and be clean?" So he did it. He went down and immersed himself in the Jordan 7 times, following the orders of the holy man. His skin was healed. It was like the skin of a baby. He was as good as new. He then went back to the holy man. He and his entourage stood before him and said, "I now know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is no God anywhere on earth other than the God of Israel. In gratitude, let me give you a gift. As God lives, Elijah replied, the God whom I serve, I'll take nothing from you. Naaman tried his best to get him to take something, but he wouldn't do it. If you won't take anything, Naaman said, let me ask you for something. Give me a load of dirt, as much as a team of donkeys can carry, because I'm never again going to worship any god other than God. But there's one thing for which I need God's pardon. When my master, leaning on my arm, enters the shrine of Rimmon and worships there, and I'm with him there worshiping Rimmon, may you see to it that God forgives me for this. Elisha said, everything will be all right. Go in peace. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So in this story, we meet Naaman, and he, if you didn't already get this impression, is kind of a big deal. One of my Duke professors used to refer to him as Nay, the man. Naaman was the general of the army under the king of Aram. So he was a foreign leader. Naaman is not an Israelite. And Aram has been victorious in previous battles with Israel, which at this point, Aram is one of the powerful nations of the time, and Naaman is the general of their army. Thing is, he has one problem. As the message paraphrase says, Naaman has a grievous skin disease. In many other translations, you would read that Naaman has leprosy. And in this society, many lepers were expelled to the fringes of society. And we're not sure why that isn't true of Naaman. Perhaps he had achieved great military victories before his leprosy set on. And maybe that's why he wasn't pushed aside. But it is very likely that his skin disease would have been a source of embarrassment and even shame for him, and potentially also for the king. And we're told that even Naaman's servants almost have pity on him. And Naaman's wife has a servant girl who is taken captive during one of Aram's raids in Israel. And she says, if only my master could meet the prophet in Samaria, the prophet in Israel, then he would be healed. Now, as soon as Naaman hears this, he goes to the king. And because Naaman is kind of a big deal, it's safe to assume that he has already exercised every possible option he can find in Aram. That he's seen every doctor and medical man and prophet and magician and whatever else he can find. And he is desperate for a cure and willing to try anything. And so he goes and tells the king about this prophet in Israel, and the king immediately says, go, pack your bags, I'll even write you a letter introducing you to the king. And so Naaman goes to Israel, and he's important enough that it appears he has no problem getting an appointment with the king of Israel. But when Israel's king reads this letter, he panics because he knows he doesn't have the power to heal Naaman. And he's afraid it's some kind of trap. And so he tears his clothes in grief. Now, even in Israel at this time, even without social media or 24-hour news cycles, the word travels fast. I mean, Aram has raided Israel in the past. And so when Naaman arrives with this entourage, he would have raised alarm. And we're not told how many people or livestock are with Naaman, but we are told that he has 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, 10 sets of clothing. And so it's safe to assume, I think, that he's probably got a pretty large crew, a large entourage with him. And so that already draws attention. The news quickly spreads as to why he is here. And when Elijah, the prophet, hears about it, he sends word to the king. King, don't be upset. I'll handle this. And so Naaman and his entourage head to Elisha's house. But when they arrive, Elisha doesn't even come out to greet them. Instead, Elisha sends a servant to meet Naaman and instructs Naaman to wash in the Jordan River 7 times. And at this, Naaman is livid. I mean, who does this prophet think that he is? That he can't even come outside and greet me? I mean, does he know who I am? I'm Nay the man. And he wants me to bathe in the Jordan River? I'm not getting in that river. Why would I do that? We have plenty of far superior waters back where we came from. And so Naaman storms off, enraged. But his servants follow him, and they ask him, "Sir, if the prophet would have asked you to do something difficult, wouldn't you have done it? I mean, so why not just try this? We've come all this way. We're here. Why not?" And so Naaman does, and he's healed. But he almost lets his pride get in the way. And it got me wondering, how often do we do that? How often do we let ourselves get in the way of whatever it is that God is doing? I mean, in this case, it's Naaman's pride, but pride isn't the only thing that gets in our way. Maybe it's insecurity, maybe it's fear, maybe it's anger or greed or doubt. The list could go on and on of the things that might get in the way of us experiencing God and the healing and freedom God has for us. And in the case of Naaman, if it weren't for the wisdom and courage of his servants to speak truth to Naaman, to suggest that he just go ahead and give it a try, Naaman might have missed the opportunity for healing. But fortunately, Naaman does hear them. And so he goes to the Jordan. He immerses himself 7 times in the river, and he is healed. And upon this healing, Naaman and his entourage return to Elisha. And this time, the prophet comes out to meet him. And not only is Naaman healed, but we learn this is a conversion experience. He declares, "I now know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is no God anywhere on earth other than the God of Israel." But before Elijah can even respond, and then Naaman adds, "So let me give you a gift." It's an interesting addition. And Elijah immediately refuses this offering of a gift, and we're told that Naaman persists. But Elijah is adamant that he will not accept anything. And in doing so, Elijah makes it clear to us that the power of God is not for sale. But this is difficult for Naaman to grasp. I mean, Naaman is accustomed to getting what he wants, but it's never free. He buys it, or he uses his influence, or he works for it. I mean, we don't know how Naaman became general, but I think it's pretty unlikely that the king of Aram just bumped into him on the street and said, "You look like general material." More than likely, Naaman earned this position and title because of his military success, perhaps because of his connections and family of origin. And for so long, there's nothing Naaman has wanted more to be healed. But now that he is, he just can't believe that it's free. If we're honest with ourselves, we often have similar struggles. I mean, we live in a culture that keeps records of accounts. As my dad always likes to say, there's no such thing as a free lunch. And as a result, it's hard for us to believe that God's grace is free, that we don't have to earn salvation. It can be hard for us to believe that God can work through us in spite of whatever we've done. But in this interaction with Naaman, Elijah makes it clear that God's economy isn't like our economy. That God's ways aren't like ours. And for us, healing doesn't require us to bathe in the Jordan River 7 times. For us, it just requires us to say yes. Yes to the invitation that we've been given. But as Naaman reminds us, too often we get in our own way. It's probably not surprising for you to hear that I've done a lot of reflecting over the last few weeks, and I've been thinking about the last 10 years. And many of you have said very kind things in the recent weeks, things about the ways I've impacted your life or your faith. And while we can name and I can know that there are strengths and gifts that I bring to the table, if I'm being really honest with myself, I think the greatest impact that I've had is when I've been best able to get out of my own way and let God do whatever it is that God wants to do. And I was willing to say yes to wherever God was leading me in that moment and trusting that God was going to fill in the gaps of my own shortcomings. I think sometimes we know we're in over our heads. And like Naaman, who instantly packs his bags and heads to Israel, we know that healing and hope is beyond our capacity. And we're desperate for help. And at least for me, in those times, it can be a lot easier for me to get out of my own way and let God work. I've seen that's been true over the years. We experience this as church family, for example, after the fire in a situation that was outside of our control or our imagination. And yet we were confident that God was going to and did bring healing and light and life out of that situation. And I think about many smaller moments that I've had as one of your pastors, whether walking into a hospital room or a living room in the middle of crisis or illness or unspeakable pain. Situations where I know that there's absolutely nothing I can say or do that's going to make your pain any less. But trusting that God was going to somehow be at work in the midst of all of this and offer even a small glimpse of comfort and hope. It doesn't have to be crisis when it's easy to get out of the way. Sometimes things are so large, we know they're only possible with God's help. I think about that with launching Scuffletown, with a calling, an opportunity as big as that. Yes, I knew that I was going to need to cast vision and lead and make decisions and bring along a team, but there was also an element of freedom in knowing that Scuffletown was only going to be successful if God was at work in it. But unfortunately, there are other times where we struggle to stay out of our own way. I mean, Naaman traveled to another country with an entourage of people and more silver and gold than I can wrap my mind around, ready to do whatever it takes to be healed. And then on a dime, he turns and suddenly he feels snubbed and insulted that Elijah didn't even bother to come outside and greet him, and that the instruction for healing was to bathe in this dirty river 7 times. And just as Naaman quickly packed his bags, desperate for however he might find healing, he was just as quickly ready to pout all the way back to Aram and forfeit a chance at healing. And we do this too. We get in our own way time and time again. I couldn't get out of my way in writing this sermon. I was so caught up in wanting it to be meaningful or memorable, to express gratitude and memories of all my time. And in the process, I couldn't get out of my own way. I forgot that the whole point of preaching is for us to step aside and God to speak. And we do this all the time. We get in our own way when we care too much about being right or about getting things done our way. We get in our own way when we're paralyzed by fear or when we fall prey to imposter syndrome. We get in our own way when we put our confidence in ourselves and our skills and ability, and we don't ask or expect God to move and fill in the gaps. We get in our own way when we, like Naaman, try to buy or earn our way into freedom and salvation, instead of accepting it as the gift that it is. And in all of those times, we need people, maybe servants like Naaman, who have the courage and love to speak truth to us, to help us to get out of our own way, or to be like Elijah and remind us that God's economy, God's kingdom, doesn't work like ours. Sometimes the things that God asks of us don't immediately make sense. And we can't fathom why it is we should bathe in this dirty river. But all God's asked of us is just to say yes. It might lead us to places we never thought we'd go, to do things we never thought we'd do, to meet people we never imagined we'd meet. But when we say yes, like Naaman, we find freedom and healing and grace and love and salvation. And in those yeses, we are transformed. So this morning, it's time to get out of our own way and say yes to whatever God has for us next. Let us pray. Almighty God, we confess that too often we get in our own way, whether it's pride or fear or greed or anger or all of the other things that keep us from saying yes to the things you have for us. And so, God, this morning, I pray that you would help us, that you would send people and servants in our lives to speak truth to us when we're getting in our own way, so that we might step aside and experience the freedom and healing that you have for us. God, help us to let go of those things that are holding us back and help us to say yes to all the things that you have for us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.